Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Yesterday, but it was long ago. Jane, it was lovely. She was the queen of my night. There in the darkness with the radio playing low.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour, hour number two, here on Toria's birthday, Thursday, February 19th, 2026 edition. I said happy birthday in the first half hour. Not sure everybody heard it, so there you go. Her father, Mike, reporting in for duty. That last legislative bill, so basically she's saying that people of a certain skin color sell the drugs that hurt most people. What a nut. Exactly. I had no idea where that statement was coming from until our good friend Tyrone Carter from Detroit piped in at the end. Well, my state representative and Mike's state representative, John Roth, Republican of Interlochen, representing us here in the 105th House District, introduced five bill package that narrowly passed in the House. The lead bill, House Bill 5035, passed 61-48. Republican James DeSanta joined most of the Democrats in voting no. However, Democrat State Representative Sharon McDonald of Troy, Samantha Steckloff of Farmington Hills, State Representative Chung from Warren, and Peter Hertzberg, Democrat from Westland, voted with most of the Republicans. This bill package, House Bill 5035, 36, 37, 38, and 39 would create new criminal penalties, including civil liability provisions and professional sanctions related to assisted reproduction procedures. Under the bills, lying about the donor's identity or medical history would be a five-year, $50,000 felony in prison. Where did this all come from? Well, a fertility clinic specialist who uses somebody else's embryo to induce a pregnancy would end up facing potentially 15 years and a $100,000 felony under this bill package. They've been working on this bill package, folks, for over 5 years. That's how long this conversation has been had down in Lansing. The bills would also allow individuals injured by false representation in assisted reproduction work to seek economic and non-economic damages, punitive damages, and attorney fees. The package would extend the statute of limitation for prosecution, would add the new crimes to Michigan's sentencing guidelines, and require disciplinary actions by the Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs for health professionals who were found in violation. Roth said he has been working on this package for 5 years, including collaborating with the Attorney General, doctors, the Michigan State Medical Society, to make sure language changes that were requested by medical professionals were included. He said certain amendments have been adopted that clarified that a doctor who have to knowingly violate the law in order to be held accountable. Roth said, I'm very proud of our work on these bills. Our caucus and even some Democrats voted to protect women who receive these services, noting that he remains confused about why others have been opposed to this legislation. Well, one of the crazy communist Democrats, this Lori Podhutsky, this woman is, I've seen her talk on the House chamber. Man, this woman is a lunatic. Democrat from Livonia was among the opponents. She voted no on each bill. While she said she supports addressing fertility fraud, she's against the package due to liability concerns and even medical doctors being prosecuted. She said the bills could hold donors liable in ways that would create really unfair expectations about disclosing detailed family medical histories, including conditions involving extended relatives. Podhutsky gave the example of a donor who may not disclose a condition that runs in their family simply because they were unaware of it. The bill includes the term knowingly. She said she does not have confidence that that standard would ultimately be interpreted in the way the current language reads. She added that unless liability concerns are addressed, she would not ever vote for the bills, moving them forward to the Senate. Well, Republican counterpoint to Podhutsky. Republican Speaker of the House, Matt Hall. And Matt Hall, I got to tell you, he's been following many of these bill packages. And I got to give him credit. For example, Roth has been working on this bill package for 5 years. Hall's like, enough's enough. We're going to get them through. We're going to get them done. And then let's see what the Senate does with them. Well, Speaker Hall congratulated State Representative Roth, praising his years of dedication to this bill package. Other bills that he talked about was Steve Kahr's voting no on these bills, but at the same time expected reciprocation of his bills, House Bills 4530 and House Bill 5220. Modifying the deadline for mental health professionals to release mental health records or information relevant to child abuse or neglect. And also, the other bill, 5220, requires continuing education for mandated reporters in child abuse and neglect detection. Finally, getting rid of most of my legislative agenda for this Thursday. That's what we do on Thursdays. What the heck are they doing in Lansing? Well, finally, House Bill 4981 passed unanimously. What? Everybody agreed on it? They can't even agree whether the sun is shining. Well, this bill updated the public health code to change the title to limited license counselor. Listen to this. To limited license professional counselor. By adding the word, corresponding language would not alter qualifications or scope of the practice in related to health officials. They literally had to pass a bill to add one word to the statute. Limited license counselor is now known as limited license professional counselor. Unbelievable. All I can say is part-time legislature. Where these people get lobbied from special interest groups, from organizations, to pass a bill that adds one word. And you have to understand the process. I've talked about this many, many times. Special interest group lobbying organization goes and finds a state representative and or a state senator to introduce a bill. Usually it is accommodated with a donation check to their reelection campaign. The bill goes to the rep or to the senator, and they ask them to see if they'd be a sponsor of it. They explain to them why it needs to be done. The representative or the senator says, yeah, I can see the need for this. I'll introduce it. I'll sponsor it. It then goes to LSB, Legislative Services Bureau. This is a gaggle of old attorneys that are not elected that runs the Legislative Services Bureau. And what their job is to take the bill and to look at current statute to see if it's related to anything already on the books. If it is, then those bills need to be updated. They need to be amended. They then also look at the state constitution as well as the U.S. Constitution to make sure that there's no conflicts, that they are constitutional. They then send back a red line to the state rep or the state senator for them to review, to consider changes, recommendations that they made. They then get a hold of the special interest lobbyist organization, come back and say, this is the changes LSB wants to make. Can you guys live with this? Yes, we can. State representative, state senator sends a message back to LSB. Okay, they'll accept your recommended changes, turn it into a blueback. What is a blueback? Most of these bills are usually a half a ream, sometimes three quarters, sometimes 500 pages, a full ream of paper. They literally put it in a vise, they heat up blue candle wax, and they brush it on the left edge of the bill. When it hardens, it's bound together. You can't take pages out, you can't put pages in. And the blueback then goes to the secretaries of the House and Senate to get on the floor agenda. After first, second, and third reading, it's voted on and then sent to the governor for signature. $500,000 in human resources goes into a bill. And this one added one word. Part-time legislature, folks. Final segment, hour number two. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Rainey for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at FuelCastTV.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From noble new tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat.
And terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
This is Kevin Kievsky, and I'm running for the Republican nomination for Michigan Attorney General. I've defeated the current Attorney General by actually representing the 2020 Trump alternate electors. It's time to end the lawfare here in our great state, and no more ever using the law as a weapon against patriots. Delegates, back me at the March Endorsement Convention to reclaim justice and to make Michigan red again. Paid for by Kevin Kievsky for Michigan, kevin4mi.com.
Hi, my name is Monica Yatuma. I've spent my career in the private sector, fixing broken systems and delivering real results. When there was waste, I cut it. When there was failure, I demanded accountability. And when problems got tough, I didn't back down. Now I'm running for Secretary of State to bring integrity, efficiency, and common sense back to Michigan government and to protect the trust in our elections that voters deserve. I'm experienced and I know how to get things done. My promise to you is conservative leadership that you can trust. This message has been paid for by Monica Yatuma for Michigan.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of hour number two. Again, on Thursdays, I tried to get you guys all caught up as to what they've been doing in Lansing this week. State representatives, state senators in session Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays. Well, with all the things we do on Fridays, I don't have the time to do these recaps, but I hope you appreciate all of the research and even the boring details, diving into the weeds, going down these bunny trails of these legislators. But I do it because I want you to understand the process. I want you to understand what they do when they go to Lansing. Most of their week, they're assigned to committees. If the Republicans are in control of the House like we are right now, the Speaker, Matt Hall, appoints a majority of Republicans to sit on all the committees. The chair is a Republican. If there's, for example, 13 members in a certain committee, eight of them will be Republicans, five Democrats. 19 members in a big committee. Well, you probably are looking at least 11, maybe 13 Republicans to eight or six Democrats. They're always in the majority based on who is in the majority. Who has the gavel? Who is the speaker? Who is in control of that chamber? Now, in the Senate right now, we've been dealing with 19 Democrats to 18 Republicans. Senate Majority Leader is Winnie Brinks. She has the gavel. So as a result, she appoints the Democrats to chair all the Senate committees. This process of who chairs the committees also are in charge of what bills get assigned to what committees and whether or not they're even going to get a hearing. So you see how this works? This is a very, very unique process. One of the things that I think we're looking at is how this is all going to potentially change on May 5th. Special election for the 35th Senate district seat. Republican J.C. Jason, excuse me, Tunney, running against the Democrat Chedrick Green, the fire chief from Saginaw. If the Republicans turn out and Jason Tunney wins that seat, we have gridlock in the state Senate. 19-19. Whoa. So what does that mean, Chucker? Well, for the rest of this year, Governor Gretchen Whitmer's last year as our governor, we will have alternating leadership in the Senate majority. Also, I've been told that the bills going forward for this legislative session this year would have to be totally bipartisan. A Senate Democrat and a Senate Republican would have to co-sponsor bills together. Because of the three-day work week in Lansing, they're there Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays, the gavel would get passed back and forth between Winnie Brinks, the Democrat, and probably, I'm thinking, Michael Weber, state representative turned state senator from Rochester. He would be the majority leader for the Republicans. You come back to session on Tuesday, it's the Republicans having it 2 out of the 3 days. Weber would chair Tuesday and Thursday session. Brinks would chair Wednesday. Next week, Brinks, the Democrat, would get 2 days, Tuesday and Thursday. Weber would get Wednesday. They alternate back and forth with leadership, and all bills must be bipartisan. How in the heck is that going to work? I have no idea because I've never seen it before. Republicans had the majority from 1982 until 2022. Then the Democrats had the majority, and they still do until May 5th. And then we'll see what happens. If the Democrat wins, Winnie Brinks stays on as the Senate Majority Leader for the rest of this year. And the Republicans in the Senate may as well go sit in the corner and suck your thumbs, because you're not going to have any input in the state Senate for the rest of this year. You may as well start campaigning. Be there when you have to for floor votes, and then get back to district and start working for your reelection or getting somebody else elected. That's the bottom line. Unbelievable crazy times in Lansing. So that's your legislative update for the week. Last hour of today's show, we're going to move to Washington, D.C. I got some stories I'm following there. Take a short break. Top of the hour news. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV.